Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Dr. George Ackerman. Dr. George Ackerman, Sharon's son, lost his mother, Sharon, on January 1st, 2020, due to Parkinson's disease. With this family, they started Together for Sharon for the purpose of keeping his mother, Sharon's memory alive and to share the message of Parkinson's awareness and hope for a cure. Today, togetherforsharon.com reaches thousands of individuals across the country for Parkinson's disease awareness. And with that, George, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I've been looking forward to our conversation for some time now.
First of all, I just want to thank you and your audience for your time. It means the world to me, my family, and so many out there fighting this disease. So my goal was really, if we could just reach one person today and make sure they know they're not alone in this fight, then we've changed the world for the better. So I'm really, again, grateful for your time and friendship. This isn't really just about a talk for an hour and see you later. We have to keep this conversation going until there's a cure, and we'll be sharing it also around the world.
And that is great to know. And I think the more that we can collaborate and get our collective messages out, the better off I think everybody will be. And we will have the chances, I think, of positively affecting more lives that way. So, and for those that know me, I'm a firm believer in collaborations. I think it's great that you want to share the podcast with that in mind. We got a lot of ground to cover, so I guess we might as well get right to the gist of the matter, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So first of all, tell our listeners, George, about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions.
Yeah, before I even heard of the word Parkinson's disease, I was an advocate in the criminal justice field. I'm from Brooklyn, New York originally, and you can just imagine the crime I saw growing up, which kind of pushed me into helping fight for victims of crime. I became an attorney in Florida and in Washington, D.C. Then I found quickly in the prosecutor's office through an internship. We just didn't have the time that we wanted to help victims. So I thought, why not go into the field, and became a police officer. Unfortunately, once again, I found you just have time to hand a brochure to a victim and go to the next call. So I found myself upset, and then I realized my passion was teaching. So I went into education, but I also was able to do my PhD, and my dissertation was on aiding African-American mothers who lost their loved one due to murder in West Palm Beach, Florida. So I was finally able to bring it all together. I did a lot of my research on advocacy, and that kind of correlates to where I left me with my mother. She had Parkinson's disease for 15 years. It's one of the worst and highest growing, unfortunate neurodegenerative diseases in the world. So about 1 million people in the U.S., but 10 million in the world. And it's growing quickly. And she had it for about 15 years, but I didn't even know what it was until year 7. She hid it from us in a way. She was still able to live independently and have a life normal. But I started seeing signs where towards the 7th year, her arm became very stiff, so she couldn't even really cut food. Then after that, she went to a special trial, which was from a really big university, which I don't name. I don't blame the school. I blame the disease. But that night she came home, they must have drastically changed her medicine. And I found her at 5 a.m. I rushed over to her home. She was moving her furniture out on the street and told me she was in fear of her life because there were Nazis inside her home. And that's when I first learned about delusions and hallucinations that might have been caused from the medications. That was the night I really took over her life. The next 4 years from that point were something that out of a book, but a horror story also. So it's been a tough journey. We lost her. I get a lot of time if we get, I never talk about this part, but I always get like, why are you doing this? I don't get money. I don't accept money. I don't have Parkinson's. Hopefully I won't. And my mother's no longer here. So even with a cure, we can't bring her back. But my dream and my goal today, sitting with you as an advocate for others in her memory, is that no family or individual ever have to go through what my mother, our family has, and that no one's ever alone. We have a lot more to talk about, but that's really the kind of background.
The other thing, George, there are many individuals who have faced life-altering challenges, whether it be through death or just life-changing circumstances, that have chosen to rise above it by trying to find meaning and purpose and trying to help others who are in the same situation. It gives us more of a focus, and it gives us more motivation to try to leave it, as I like to call it, positive tracks behind, and permanent positive tracks behind, as a result of our motivation to help others as a result of our own tragedy. So I think what you're doing is admirable. And I know when we talked in the pre-chat, I could see that passion, I could see that focus, and I could see the determination that you don't want any other family to go through what your family went through with your mom. Just for those who may not be aware of what Parkinson's disease is, what can you give us, like an encapsulated version of what Parkinson's disease is, any causative factors, age of common onset, things of that nature?
And my mother was young. She was only 69 when she passed, but that doesn't mean everybody has the same journey. That's why there's no cure, because it's so difficult. If you have 10 people all diagnosed, each one might have a different variation, a different outcome, and might still be with us. So it's so different for each person. It's a movement disorder. There's things called bradykinesia, where, and also very interesting areas, like she didn't have external tremors like the famous actor Michael J. Fox does. Also, there's something called young onset Parkinson's, which he had about 30. So it's a false narrative that Parkinson's is an elderly man disease, which we're trying to get rid of, because now we're trying to bring more discussion on women with Parkinson's and also different minorities. So it's very important. It's not just old man disease. She had it. She had things such as dyskinesia, which is the curling of the toes. So it's a lot of involuntary movement. The easiest example, unfortunately, is if I took my hand and wanted to touch a screen, but my body didn't allow it. So the brain and the body just don't mesh at this point. A loss of dopamine. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I just speak from our experiences. Also, they don't know the cause. They don't believe it's genetic. I feel, and I'm pretty big a believer, it's environment. So things like pesticides. My mother had a beautiful home for 20 years in Florida, but she had termites, so they had horrible sprays. Who knows what they did 15 years ago. Also mold in the house. And also, we're not really sure what people, what the companies are putting on our pesticides on the fruits and vegetables and food at the shop supermarket. So it's a combination. I was shocked to find out the other month when I interviewed a Parkinson expert, doctor, movement specialist, that you can actually use some type of spray, which could be poison, in our dry cleaning. So it almost seems like we're being surrounded by these things and we're not getting much more involved until it's too late, and we really need the government involved. One great point, our news is just 2 weeks ago, the president signed into law, after finally passed after decades of bringing it to the legislature, but the House and Senate passed the first ever bill called the National Plan to End Parkinson's Disease. So we're actually talking right now during history. It's the first bill ever, literally. It's, I don't believe it, that it's the first one, because Parkinson's been around for a very long time. But it is official law now. I'm curious to see how it's implemented. It's just because it's passed doesn't mean it's in. But the nice thing is it's bipartisan. Everyone wants a cure. There's no reason we can't all at least get along for that one thing.
Absolutely. And Parkinson's disease doesn't discriminate. It's going to hit anybody from any family, from any political party, any race, any ethnic origin. I know the bill, I was reading on your website, the bill was passed on, I think, on July 2nd, 2024. Can you tell us a little bit about the provisions of the bill and what the objectives are for that bill once it's implemented?
Yeah, I was actually lucky to be a part of it with my local congresswoman. The Michael J. Fox Foundation spearheaded the whole entire legislature, and I've interviewed them on my show also. Basically, it's the first bill ever. It's going to help people diagnosed with research to find a cure. It's also going to help with awareness. It's also going to try to reach individuals who might not have accessibility to doctors because there's only specific people who can even see him and a movement neurologist, movement specialist. Also, to open new avenues to talk about awareness. It's a lot of things and help families and caregivers. I'm just curious again how big of an impact it'll make. It will take time. There's one area that me might be able to get into, and I actually wrote a book. It's not published yet. I'm waiting because I'm editing it. It takes a year, but I don't have Parkinson's today as we speak, and I'm no longer an individual living, caregiving for someone living with Parkinson's. So I'm actually in a third category that's very often forgotten. That's someone who lost a loved one due to Parkinson's, and a lot of big organizations, although I love them, they often forget people like me, and it's sad because I think if we brought back the millions and billions of people, literally, who lost someone due to Parkinson's, that we might have been closer to a cure. But I actually often find myself struggling in a way that I feel like not a big percentage, but some don't really want to hear our journey because many doctors we saw, they tell you, you don't die of Parkinson's, you die with it. My mother had no other medical issues at all but Parkinson's. That could have been from the medicines and things. I'm not arguing that, but she had nothing else. So a lot of time, I've found, like you mentioned, a lot of light and positive from the darkness, meeting incredible, inspiring people like you, your audience, and those battling today keep me going. But a lot of times, people, there's a beginning, a middle, and end of life. No one in the world wants to talk about the end of life. And I wrote a book recently, and it's actually about my mother's journey from the beginning when I joined the middle, and then my work as an advocate today. But there's some chapters I do recommend not to read just because they're tough. But for those people who do want to be inspired and see that there is light from the darkness, it's a great, important book. Also, the most important thing is just keeping my mother, in my opinion, alive through her story. Because I feel like she lost 15 years alive and 15 years after due to this disease. And part of me also left the world when she passed because she was my best friend. And things like this today, speaking to you, helped me cope even 4 years later. That I feel that, someday I hope we find a cure and I won't have to do this, but I still would do a lot in her memory because I do wish she was right next to me today.
Can you speak to the grief you've experienced since your mother's death? What has that been like for you? And what resources have you found to be the most helpful?
Yeah, the toughest thing was, we spoke 10 times a day, no matter when. I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for her sacrifices. She grew up in a tough world in Brooklyn, New York, no money, worked hard, married my father. He became a doctor, but she quit her whole career, a school teacher, and had a master's, sacrificed it all to take care of me and my brother and raised us. And then they were divorced. So she was a very independent person, friendly, caring. Very selfless, didn't want to burden the family with any of her issues, which I wish she did. But those are some of the areas that kind of built me to where I am today. If you met her, she'd laugh. You'd laugh. She'd say, George, don't waste your time with all this. Be with your family. But she also didn't raise me to just go away into a rock. So those are some of the most important areas. But for grief, it's not easy. Still grieving. The only thing that helps is what we're doing now, talking about it. Keeping her memory alive. TogetherForShannon.com was inspired and really stemmed from my mother. She passed so quickly. We were told she wouldn't pass from Parkinson's. All of a sudden, after 4 years, it did. And I can't even explain. That's why I don't want to. I put in the book what the last year was like. If you can think of hell, but the good, the bad, and the ugly, going, seeing your loved one or anyone who had good health walk from 3 miles a week to go the last 2 years to a cane, then a walker, then a wheelchair, and then bedbound for 7 days, which is something, again, it's just horrific to even look back on. But I will say, and this is the actual book on the cover, this one moment is my mother and I at my wedding, and it's the son and the mother and son dance. And those 3 minutes, we played her favorite artist, who I love, Barry Manilow, I Am Your Son. But you can see us, she was smiling. And those 3 minutes, Parkinson didn't exist and didn't matter. And no matter what, it could never take that moment from me. And I often have trouble even showing the cover some days because I'm 6'2", 200 pounds and policing. I'm tough, but when I go in the other room and think about all this stuff, it's still heartbreaking. But like I said, the thing that inspires me is being able to speak to you, making sure people out there know they're not alone. And there's so many inspiring people. Just last week, this group of four rode in a boat I've sailed around the world and raised $20 million for Parkinson's awareness for Michael J. Fox. So those are the I'm actually going to be speaking with them, I think, in the upcoming months. But those are the things that kind of push me to keep fighting.
And I'll tell you, when we did our pre-chat and you told me about your connection to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, that motivated me to go on Max and or my Fire TV and find Family Ties, Spin City, and I'm probably now going to work to the Back to the Future series again because Michael J. Fox was one of my favorite actors, and he was just a dynamic presence, and he had so much courage coming out and talking. I think it was when he was doing Spin City, I think he was diagnosed. I think it was like 1991 or something. And what he's done to raise awareness for Parkinson's disease and raise money for research has been nothing short of inspiring. So I'm glad the two of you have connected. It's your mom obviously is very special, and she's always going to be present as long as you keep her in your conscious memory and you keep her memory alive, you keep her alive within you and those who were touched and will be touched by their lives. I think for me and my experience with grief, particularly in the years after, and I call it the transition of my daughter to a new existence over 21 years ago, it's keeping her memory alive, integrating the best parts of who she is into me, that has allowed me to move through my grief and move forward in grief with her best characteristics being a part of mine. Yeah, as long as you continue to do that, your mom is always going to be alive in your hearts and the hearts of others, and she's never going to be far away.
Thanks. And this is actually, if I can see her, that's me and Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I can see it. Yep, I can see that. I saw the picture. I know you posted that on Facebook too, as well. So yeah, that's a great photo of the two of you. Tell us more about the book. I know the book, is it a memoir just about your mom's life and about her journey with Parkinson's, or what? Or is it more than that?
It's more than that. It's about her journey, but then how I come in as a caregiver, you know, how I never had experience or training or some out of school, but not for that. You can't really prepare for something like this. I was just thrown in, decided to take the battle and help her. And she appreciated it because she only felt safe for some reason when I was by her side. And I knew that it would be a challenge. Or some days I felt sad, depressed, wanted to give up, but I had to keep also fighting. I didn't have Parkinson's, but I felt like I had, in a way, secondary Parkinson's, because it doesn't just affect the person diagnosed, also affects the family and the community. So it was not an easy thing, but some of the most important chapters deal with the first signs of Parkinson's, some of the symptoms, and also treatments. So it also gives a lot of tips and helpful hints. Also talked about my caregiving, but more importantly, my wife and my children, how I wouldn't be here even as an advocate or through the struggle of my mother if it wasn't for their support. Also, I go into how finding good aides to help out, which was a whole other show where the people can just get a fake license, hire a few people who aren't even from here and just throw together some disaster. And we went through it all. My dream and goal when we accomplished it was never to put her in a home, and I have nothing against homes, but I want to be able to monitor and help her because she had also the delusions and hallucinations, which not all Parkinson's patients have, but she was in fear of her life a lot. At least she said so, even though in reality she wasn't. So those were really like, again, on top of the disease, it was just another thing and another. So it was like, felt like a nail and a hammer just fitting me every day, because I would try to find methods and ways to help her, but we tried everything. You could name it, we did it. Also, I go into how important it is afterwards, like the mission forward, and how grateful I am to so many like you for also being there to help support us. There's a lot more into it. There's also a lot of positive things in the book, and I'm already done with two more books. One is going to change the United States, I think, forever. It's a focus on policing and Parkinson's disease. That's for future, but it's a big book coming. I'm hoping to change the laws throughout the U.S. in the world of law enforcement, because I'm an officer, but many aren't aware of Parkinson's, which is frightening, because it is a movement disorder. So if someone's pulled over 7, 8 p.m. dark at night by police and they're just moving, officer doesn't have training, they could think it's drugs or DUI, and it can end very badly. So that book is done, but I'm waiting again, editing it. And then the third book, we have a lot of things planned that are exciting. And again, as we mentioned earlier, I don't accept money for it. I would have liked to, but I don't want it to be about that. Togetherforsharon.com, the website, was developed in memory of my mother. I thought we'd have like four people see it, and I'd be happy with that. We've had over 38,000 people visit the site, and it's just become bigger than us. And I'm not sure if it's my advocacy or that the disease is just growing every day more and more. And you can see, even in the national talk today with the president, that was a big issue. Whether he has it or not, Parkinson's, it doesn't matter. I don't like exploring things or bringing it for a bad reason, but at least the national taste in the mouth knows, or at least they heard the word. Again, until we have more people like celebrities joining in, it's much more difficult just for someone like me. I'm just one son. One person started the website and the books and things, and I'm reaching people, but I'm also sacrificing my own health as a caregiver and also today as an advocate. I just don't want to rest because no matter what my surgeries or issues are, I feel that today was very important even for us to discuss because, like I said, if we just reach one person out there, maybe they'll share this podcast and then another person, then it can spread. And I think the only way we're going to find a cure is if we have more individuals throughout the world involved.
I agree. And sometimes I think a movement, a great movement, starts with one person. And it's also about planting seeds, creating that awareness, doing education. And I think education is a great foundation for individuals to then become involved, doing education on what Parkinson's is important.
I was shocked to find out, again, only 2 years ago, that I thought there were a million people in the U.S. with Parkinson's, and that was it. And then I found out through an organization called the World Parkinson Congress that there were 10 million people around the world. And I was like, this is not right. And I decided it wasn't about me at that point and my mother only. It was about everybody and how we have to be a family in this fight. Thankfully, 99% people agree, but this 1%, which is about my third book, about how I actually have had some struggles just trying to advocate, because in 2024, people sadly, either they've been taken advantage of or feel that there's people out there that don't want to just help others and that's not the cause. I have to keep reiterating, which is sad in a way, that togetherforsharon.com is completely free. I don't accept money. If you send me a dollar, it costs me more to send it back, but I'll do it. But there is a donation link on the website, and that goes directly to those organizations. So we've been lucky enough to not partner, but become family with Michael J. Fox Foundation, the American Parkinson Disease Association, and a drive toward a cure, power over Parkinson's. But we've donated for my family about $25,000 over the last 4 or 5 years just to help fund research. So again, I don't accept money, but I do accept that no one is ever alone. But that is complicated because I have so many things I want to do. We have our own show now. It's just dealing with Parkinson's awareness. I was hoping to have one show a month. It's become like 30 or 40. And I don't know how long that's going to be able to go on because I have my career. But I just really have a passion for this. And I wish we could, again, stop tomorrow. I love the Michael J. Fox mission. So we'll be there until Parkinson's is not. It's what I feel, except I have doing it in my mother's memory. So that'll never stop.
And it sounds like what you're doing through your Together with Sharon website is trying to build a sense of community to combat Parkinson's disease and to find a cure. And I think together we're better. One of my favorite musicians, the late great Neil Peart, had a line, and I think it was in his book, Ghost Rider Travels on the Healing Road. It went something like this: we are islands to each other, building hopeful bridges on a troubled sea. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to do it together. We have to build those bridges, with the troubled sea obviously being Parkinson's disease and the frequency of that, and not having an established cure at this point. That's the bridge that we're building. It sounds like you're doing a great job trying to build that sense of community to pull resources to find answers.
Yeah, thank you. And togetherforsharon.com has resources around the world completely free. So you might even be in a state you didn't realize, and they have an organization. You can go right directly to their website. All 7 or now almost 800 interviews are up there for free. People love that because they see the other people's journeys, It's people from push-ups for Parkinson's, boxing for Parkinson's, yoga, even pickleball now for Parkinson's. It's just incredible, but they're not aware. They might be a lot, but it's all over the place. So I tried to just bring it all together for free. Also, my shows are on there, media. I've done newspapers and other shows and our shows up there. And just it's growing. I do a lot of live events in April as Parkinson's Awareness Month. We flew to New York for Michael J. Fox and met with him again. It's called the Unity Walk. It's once a year. I also have a table usually at the Parkinson's Foundation Walk. So we do get into the community too, which is important. But again, it's just me. It's not a foundation on purpose, and it's not an organization. So some days it's tough because I'm brainstorming with myself. But I'm always thinking of new things. We actually just started a second YouTube channel. We're calling it Parkinson's Connections. And what I'm doing is for free, taking all the people with Parkinson's and advocates who have Parkinson's and have a YouTube channel, or bring them all together for free in mine. So now it'll bring attention to their own channels and to this one. And it's just another way to bring everyone together. It's not easy, but the cool thing is it doesn't take any time for them. I'm just the one doing the work, but I'm always trying to brainstorm. Sometimes I do too many things and it's not easy, but I just have to keep fighting.
And I'll make sure all of your social media links, contact information, your web address for Together for Share, and all of that will be in the episode notes, both on YouTube and on RSS. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, did you grieve your loss of being a caretaker to your mom too, in addition to grieving her physical absence?
That's a good question. I had two sides to that coin. One is I wanted selfishly for my mother to be there forever. But the other side was I was not as sad that she passed, because she was in such pain, struggling. And the last 7 days is a chapter in the book, which some people I always say skip that one. Because again, she had a heartbeat, but she wasn't alive. Florida doesn't have death with dignity. We treat our animals here in Florida better than our loved ones. We would have used it for sure, because a big problem, again, back to Parkinson's, is people either don't want to admit it or talk about it, but it's not considered an end-of-life disease, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Not only my mother, there are many that have ended their life. So until we start again revisiting laws and things like that, I think Florida, the legislature, they're already looking at that law here right now as we speak. But it was just tragic, and it was tough and horrible to see. So it was a double-edged type sword for that one.
And I think, if I'm recalling correctly, I think only 11 states in the United States has aid in dying legislation where people can die with dignity.
And New Jersey, it was one state. We actually even thought about moving there, but we wouldn't have made it. You have to live for a year as a resident. We even had, and Florida does have the medical marijuana license. And it was a funny story, because I'm a cop and I'm not for all that. But if someone's in horrible pain, I am for it. And we got the license. Unfortunately, Florida, it's so new at the time that the distilleries don't speak to the doctor. So it's like the Wild West. So you get a permission and a license, but they don't know what to give you. So she either tried just a pill, because we don't like all the other stuff, or we didn't want to. And one time she fell over in the chair too much. And the other time made her agitated even more because of the hallucination. So it didn't work out. I was really upset, because I thought that was like the last resort, at least to help the pain, but it didn't work for us.
Until somebody is in a position where they're dealing with somebody who's in chronic pain, whether it be cancer, whether it be Parkinson's disease, whether it be some other illness where there's a lot of pain that is associated with that. I know for me, George, when my daughter was in such excruciating pain during her cancer illness, I would have broken any kind of a law to get her something other than the prescribed drugs that she was taking to mitigate her pain and just keep her calm. But with marijuana, the research has been tried and proven that it has a lot of positive medicinal effects in a lot of different areas, particularly for cancer patients. It stimulates appetite, helps with the nausea, chemo. So if it works and it can be controlled and it can be regulated, why not?
Yeah, I agree.
If you're going to leave our listeners with one thing today, George, what would that be?
Sure, I have a little statement I always love to say, but we love you. We support you, we care a lot about you, and you're never alone. I, along with your amazing host here, will advocate for you, and together our voices, I feel, are just so much stronger. And I always say, in a kind of funny way, that I'm just getting started, because every morning I wake up and hear about people selling the world and raising money, or somebody out there still struggling. I interviewed a young lady, she's not young, but she was 68. She's almost at my mother's age. I knew my mother's story. And she announced live on my show that she was now wheelchair bound. And it was horrible, because it was tough. It was a tough thing. And how do you deal with that? You know, you want to reach out and hug them, but she's brave. Michael J. Fox to me is an idol and my advocate of the world, because he could have, like you said, could have led a private life and went away and that would have been it. Instead, he fought back and raised 10 or more, $20 billion, not million, billion, to help find a cure. Unfortunately, he's not doing well. Last time I saw him was recently in the last few months. So that's my main goal, is that no one out there is alone. Reach out. If you go to togetherfifthround.com, scroll down on the main page, you'll see a Christmas tree or a tree. And on that, you click, you can add me everywhere. And it's just me. I'll add you right back, and just to make sure you're not alone. I felt alone as a caregiver. My mother really felt alone as a person diagnosed throughout the whole journey. But I still feel with the book, with our word and our fight, that one day we will be closer to a cure. And again, I want to thank you and your community too for your time, love, and support. And we send it right back to you.
Thank you, George. And I am going to wish you well and be a supporter of the work that you're doing to try to find a cure for Parkinson's with you and your other community members who are aligned with you in that mission. The other thing, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that besides your mother, Michael J. Fox has probably been one of the more inspirational persons in your life. Is that an accurate assumption?
Yeah, first I have to say my wife, because she, without her, I wouldn't be able to do anything. She actually is my nurse too, because I've had a tough summer. I've had my own ankle surgery, back surgery, thigh surgery. So I'm still sitting here with you strong. Hopefully next week I'll be back out there running again and fighting. But she's definitely number one, because I don't think regular people would put up with all that. But number two is definitely in the Parkinson's world. Number one is Michael Fox. But when I met him the first time, it was almost like that moment in the movies where your life flashes by. Part of it was in heaven, because it was like, I'll never get that. You never think you'll have the opportunity. But the other part of me was somewhat sad, because he wasn't doing well. He wasn't able to really stand much anymore. And then if you notice, a few weeks ago, he played on the stage with Coldplay, the famous music band. He's actually in a wheelchair, which if you look back 10 years on YouTube, you'll see him playing with them, and he's dancing and jumping around. So if the number one advocate in the world with the most funding behind him is doing poorly, I'm heartbroken to see if he ever did leave us, it's going to send a shockwave to the whole Parkinson's world, but he'll never be forgotten. I'll make sure of it. And we have to just keep positive, keep hope alive. Again, I went through kind of devastating thing and I'm still fighting. So I don't see why everyone else can't join with us by my side. I have so much more to come. Writing a kid's book. We have a book too. It's a very important one, which is going to be dedicated to all those we've lost due to Parkinson's. There's nothing like it out there. Because again, it might be controversial, but no one really wants to address it. I'm going to. I also have a book along with a lawyer and another young woman who has Parkinson's. We're writing a book on the law system, the legal system, and Parkinson's. This is not enough out there. People, like, they lose their job and their livelihood, and they're not even getting compensated. So there's a lot of areas that I'm really thinking about, even one on sports and Parkinson's. So there's a lot of, I have one book planned for a year, for the next 7 or 8 years, and hopefully they'll all come. And I don't know if they'll be seen or shared. A lot of publishers and media just don't, it's not as exciting because they're not aware. They want the violence and the other sexy stuff that you get ratings. But I wish they would take a little more time and talk about awareness for Parkinson's.
The other thing too, any talk about illness or death is relatively, for the most part, taboo in this society, right? The focus is on happiness, functionality, and we talk about death when it's upon us, but the time to talk about it is before it's upon us. We make that a part of our daily life and understand that we're only going to be here for a short period of time, and that we're we need to understand that in order to make our life meaningful. And we need to have more discussions about taboo topics if we're going to, I think, create greater awareness and also become, I think, more authentic human beings by embracing that. In addition to your website, Together for Sharing, all of your contact information links are there. Is there any other way to get in touch with you besides those links that you can let our viewers know about?
Yeah, I mean, everything's simple. My email's togetherforsharon@gmail.com. But if you go to the website, everything is right there. And again, it's just me. Thankfully, so far, I've been able to handle everything. I never dreamt I'd have 7 different social medias. I didn't want it. We got to reach as many people as we can. We have a few thousand people on Scrum. Try to add things every day. Some days it's, I don't want to keep doing it, but I keep fighting and keep coming up with new ideas and things. But not always easy. Again, it's just me alone. So I just think of my mother. Sometimes it'll be a picture of us together. Sometimes I have loud music like techno with a picture just as advocate because I want that person that sees it to blast in their ear. Mm-hmm. And wake up America and the world that we need more help on this. Just keep fighting. And again, the big thing is no one's alone. I'll probably post some more tonight about being not alone. Just even just speaking to you today helped me more than you'll ever dream. And also being able to speak to your audience. Hopefully, again, we reach even just one person and change their life.
I hope so too, George. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend with me and my listeners today. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Thank you. It means the world, and I'm going to be sharing it too forever.
Thank you, George. That is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.